Welcome to Word for America on Grace Life Radio, featuring Dr. Luke, Sean Wong, and Dr. Mark Thompson, where they discuss topics relevant to today's Christian believer. Our goal is to handle the Word of God like the Bereans of Acts 17:11, who were not swayed by every wind of doctrine, but searched the Scriptures daily to find God's truth. Now, let's listen in as they discuss today's topic.
This is Dr. Luke Sean Wall with the Word for America program on Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM, WPGT, where we preach grace and truth. We are broadcasting from the True Church Conference from Grace Life Church of the Shoals, where this year's theme is the Spirit-Empowered Church. And as you have been listening, we have been interviewing quite a few different pastors, music worship leaders, throughout this conference, and we have with us today Brother Tim Martin, who is the Director of Media Productions here at Grace Life Church of the Shoals, and really Anchored in Truth, who is the, which we've talked about as well, is the missions arm of Grace Life Church. He also does some shepherding within Grace Life Church, and in one of the divisions here, we're going to talk about that. Those of you who are listening on our Anchored in Truth spots, when you're listening in those segments, Brother Tim is the voice, and he's known as the voice around here. He's the voice of that, and he usually gives a quick synopsis of the sermon that Pastor Jeff Noblet is about to preach. And he also he gives the introduction about Anchored in Truth and about their website as well. So yeah, it's a pleasure to have Brother Tim with us today. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's great to be here. I'm glad you guys could be here for the conference, and it's just been a great addition, I think, to have you guys here.
We're blessed to be here. We are just loving it, basking in God's glory. Well, Brother Tim, just kind of tell us a little bit what you do here. You kind of wear a couple of different hats here at the church. Like I said, you've got the Grace Life Church side, and then you are an Anchored in Truth, that missions arm team member. Kind of tell us a little bit more what you do here.
Well, I may need to back up a little bit to kind of give you just a brief glimpse of the history of that.
Sure.
I've actually been a church member here. It's almost 30 years. It'll be 30 years this September.
That's unheard of. You're supposed to have a new church every 2 years.
My wife and I joined in 1984, in the fall of 84. Been here ever since, and Brother Jeff was here at that time and got to know he and Pam. And just been really great friends with him all these years, and know him. What you see of him is who he is.
Because right.
I've seen all sides of Jeff.
He's a straight shooter.
He is what he is.
And he's been here how many years?
He's been on staff for 33 years.
33 years,
yeah.
On staff.
Yeah, and I think he came a little bit before that just as a college student.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first came here, I was working in radio. I'd been in radio for 14 years before I came on staff, and since God was calling me into the ministry, and at that point assumed that when you're called into the ministry, you're going to be a pastor, you're putting your former life behind, you're moving
right,
on,
right.
You're headed to seminary, you're doing new things. And so that was my pursuit. And little did I know that God would change my direction a couple times. I'll just cut all that short so not to give you all the boring details of that. But turned my direction a couple of times, and I stayed here to work on staff with Brother Jeff. And amazingly enough, after I'd been on staff about a year, we had an opportunity to begin a radio ministry with his preaching. And I could have an opportunity to begin editing that. So that the program that you hear on your station now really was birthed back in 1991 is when that first came about. And so
it's a great blessing, by
so,
the way.
Well, being here then, all of a sudden, God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take both worlds, and I'm going to put them together for you. Not only are you going to minister in a local church, but I'm going to take all those years of training and schooling of broadcasting, and I'm going to put all that together and mesh that into one thing. And only God could have done that. And so since being here, I've worn a lot of hats through the years. Mm. As we were evolving as a staff, I've done missions, I've done small groups, headed that up. I was an administrator for a brief amount of time, done a lot of things, but really I've settled in, and I think what our pastor would say, we're all now specialists in that we're focusing on a main area, and media is what I do. And involved in that, of course, is the radio ministry that we've had for so many years. And on the station here locally, here in Sheffield, and on with you guys, and we're also on there in North Carolina, the station. And being able to do those programs has been great. We did television for about 18 years, mm-hmm. Produced a half-hour television broadcast that aired internationally as well as locally on our CBS affiliate locally. And just decided a little over a year ago that that was a lot of money we were investing into
sure.
that. And with the internet now and the way things are going media-wise, we really decided to pull the reins back on the television ministry and focus more on what we could do with the internet ministry. Because, mm-hmm. As you know, you can do a lot of things for cheap or for no cost on the
right.
internet
yep.
that years ago was not even heard of.
Exactly.
And so we were able to refunnel our focus on that with the TV ministry. So I was involved in that for several years. Also, the websites. We have a website for Grace Life Church, as well as a website for Anchored in Truth Ministries, and I am sort of the webmaster behind all of that as well, working with a company that's we use their background software for that. But as a matter of fact, we were in the process of redeveloping both of those websites, and I had really hoped that the Anchored in Truth site would have been ready for the conference, because we had talked about debuting it here on the big screens and walking people through that and showing the things about the website. I'm really excited about it because the current website, I think, had got a little clunky. It's a little hard to navigate. In this day and time, if people have to click more than once or twice to get to something,
they quit.
You know, which is funny to me, you know, because you think about years ago when we had dial-up and you clicked once and waited 30 minutes to the next click. Now, if we can't do 3 clicks in 2 seconds, we're frustrated.
Done.
So, but that's just the way we've evolved. I understand that. But so really focusing on the website ministry, doing those things, and we're really expanding both of those websites. And so I would encourage your listeners to be looking for that coming soon. Probably the next month or so, we'll have both of those up and running. Easier ways to access the preaching ministry of Jeff Noblett, the resources that are there that we're making available. All those things are much, much easier to access now. So I'm involved with that as well, as far as the media is concerned. And of course, you know, producing the CDs and DVDs of Brother Jeff's ministry and having that together and overseeing that. And then talking about what I do at Grace Life, also, we have 3 divisions of our small groups that we function under, so we're sort of like under shepherds to our pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And the group that I have is people aged 50 to 63. I'm the shepherd of those classes, and I meet with those leaders and that department, and we work together for visitation, any church discipline issues, whatever is involved in the shepherding of that particular age group. So I'm involved with that as well. So I love that work. I love everything that I do. It's great. So kind of in a really compact nutshell, that's what I'm involved in.
That's wonderful. And tell me a little bit about, you mentioned small groups. That's kind of an idea that a lot of churches hear about. Some churches even have. You talked about your divisions that you have. It's more age-related divisions that you have here. You have a pretty large church, a 600-plus member church. Is that right?
Well, we're closer to about 900.
Oh, okay. So I was off by a couple hundred,
yeah.
Which that's like 3 churches in most places. But so it's a it's a big church, so to speak, and there are small groups, and what you have is age-related, gender-related as well, or is there some couples classes or couples small groups? How do you break those up?
Well, we are age-graded. That's the main focus of that. Now, we do have 4 couples classes currently. We don't encourage that as a general rule because we found that, you know, men typically will open up more when they're just around other men. And women when they're around other women.
Same.
You get a husband and wife sitting together in a couples class, and typically the husband just kind of fades into the background and the wife gets involved. So I know that's not, you can't just, you know, stereotype that, but we don't try to push people away from that. If they come to the church and say, well, I'd really like to try a couples class, they'll go there. But 9 times out of 10, after they've been in there for several months, they'll go, you know, I think we're ready to move on to another class. But we do age grade those classes. For instance, my division covers ages 50 to 63, and I have 5 men's classes and 4 ladies' classes that function within that, and they're either 2 years or 3 years span. And so you have men and ladies, like, for instance, if you're a 52-year-old man like I am, you would have a particular men's class that I would go to. It's going to be a group of 10 or 12 guys, my same age, place in life kind of a situation. And to me, it's easier to relate to guys that way because we're typically, your kids are all about the same age and your life situations are similar, you know. And so that, to me, that works so much better. And as we keep that structure in place, then you're able to promote through that. So let's say next year I go to the 53-year-old men's class. Well, it's going to be some different guys. I can make new friends. Mm. Some of the guys my own age will go with me as well. So it really works really well here, we've found, to have that type of a age-graded small group. Now, I know some churches have their small groups or cell groups that meet off campus. You know, I understand that. Some do them based on community situations, and I realize that's very relevant to where they are. So I'm not saying the way we do it is the only way, but it's been very successful here, though.
Right, and also with your numbers, that's a better way to do it. And, of course, we, Grace Life Church Lake City, we're a small church, 80 members. So we really only have a couple of different small groups, but we have that mix. You know, we have, you know, taken the lead from Grace Life Church of the Shoals and have men's and women's groups that way. So, and then too, so you have you kind of shepherd over a few of the different classes, and then within those classes are small group leaders. Is that right?
That's right. Each class has a small group leader that teaches the lesson, and there'll be also be an outreach leader that will function with them. Most of those classes have group leaders then that also, it's just a part of the whole structure of the, you know, as we talk about evangelizing the lost, equipping the saved, and meeting the needs of the people there.
So you see at Grace Life Church of the Shoals, you see this very well-organized machine almost is when you're looking at it from the outside, but with true biblical leadership in place, and everything flows from that. And from the outside looking in, or we should say from the inside, because we're part of that. But it's such a wonderful dynamic to see that, and to see a healthy church, a true church that has biblical eldership in place. They've got all of these, you've got expository preaching being done, church discipline being done. So all, you know, all of the, you know, shenanigans are taken care of. And it's not to say that it's a perfect place. There's no perfect church, because every church has people in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a wonderful dynamic, and one thing that I've always coming to the conference for the last 6-7 years, however many it's been, what I love about Brother Jeff and Brother Steve, all of you guys, you're humble about your growth. You're humble about what's going on, because you see, you know what? We're going to tell you all about what we've learned so far. Because that's the terminology that you hear. Because you're like, we're always learning, we're always reforming, we're always changing things. Because
we've not arrived.
Exactly, and that's my point, is that, you know, no church has it all together completely. We strive to be biblical. We strive to follow through the scriptures perfectly. But it's hard, you know. We're flesh, and we learn from things. But man, after 30-some years, you've learned a lot, and there's a lot to be learned from. It's awesome to look at, and it's a great dynamic to model. We like to model. We model it from Grace Life Church Lake City, because we're a plant partner. But also we see that it's a biblical model that's being done here, and we praise you for that. We praise the Lord for that. We praise the Lord, number one, that He has used you all to do such things.
Well, since I've been a part of this church for 30 years, small groups has really been important to me and to my family. I mean, when we first got here, we were a part of a couple's class when we first joined. It's so kind of funny, when we first came, we visited here. My wife only knew one other person here, and I knew no one here 30 years ago. It was a girl she'd gone to college with. And she said we'd visit some other churches after we'd gotten married and just decided, you know, we're just not locked in anywhere yet, because we didn't go back to our hometown to church, which is 35 miles away. And so we went here, in those days it was called First Baptist Church of Muscle Shoals. It was one little metal building with a gravel parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And we came in, enjoyed the service. The preaching was really great. And after the service, there was an older lady who came and stopped us in the back. And she didn't invite us to small groups. She didn't encourage us to come to small groups. She told us, you're coming to small groups
okay.
next Sunday. And her name is Dee Rich, and you've probably seen her around here. She's a gem, I tell you. But she said, you will be in our couples class. You know, we meet in the basement. This is, you know, all that. I mean,
yeah.
And we just said, Yes, ma'am. So the next
she spoke Sunday, with authority.
She did. So on the way home, I told my wife, I said, looks like we're going back there next That's Sunday. So we came back the next Sunday and have been here ever since. I mean, the church just enveloped us in Christian love, and the expository preaching of the word was just phenomenal. And just, I mean, we began to grow like we had never grown before in our Christian life. And then 6 years later, I come on staff, you know, so I've been on staff for almost 24 years now, working alongside Brother Jeff and others here. So it's just been a great experience for me. You know, of course, we've been through some tough times. We've been through some lean times. We've been through some discouraging times, but God has been so faithful through all of it. And as we look back across that now and see things that he brought us through, that's why I think we're so much stronger, why we have such unity here, because of the things that he allowed us to experience as a church family. And so I'm very thankful for that. I'm very thankful I was able to raise my children here in this environment, because when we came here, we had no children. And then now 4 children later, my baby's about to graduate high school. So we've seen our kids come through this church here. And so many people have had an active role in discipling my family, you know, all the way from the bed babies through children's classes and all the way through teenage classes and now my kids in young adulthood. And so there's so many people have had influence on my family that's so valuable that we could never, ever put a price tag on.
Yeah, and one of these aspects about these churches, and one of the reasons why other churches can learn from this is because of the length of time. Here at the conference, we're seeing new church plants in Illinois. We've seen one in Pryor, Oklahoma last year. We see another church plant in Pittsburgh now. We have us in Lake City, Florida. You have Pensacola, Florida. You have Dallas, Texas. Richland Center, Wisconsin. Manitoba, Canada. I could go on and on about these church plants. I mean, true church plants. We've been talking about church planting. We had Brother Bear King on. We said, look, people don't plant churches. Churches plant churches. And that's kind of a mismodel that you see in America. People are planting churches, and there's no discipleship. It's you kind of got these people out there on their own. You know, we've got Grace Life Church who comes alongside. They raise up men, they disciple men, they teach men, and in these small groups, that's part of that too. They raise up and they disciple, and through that small group ministry, which most of you all out there listening would think of that as Sunday school. We call it small group, and it's just whatever you call it, potato, you know, these different types of things. But it's important for you believers out there to come and to get into some type of system like that. I don't want to say the word system, but church community, getting to know one another. It's different if you come to a church, you sit down at a 3,000 assembly church, and you come every week, and you don't know the people beside you. You never know them. You never know who they are. Sure. That's not the true body of Christ. The true body of Christ loves one another. They love on one another. They know each other's needs. They help meet each other's needs. They pray for. How can I pray for you if I don't know who you are? And that's a misconception that we see in evangelicalism today. And Hebrews chapter 10, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." Well, how can we stir up one another if we don't know one another?
Right.
And then it goes on and it says, "Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's very important for us to gather together, to fellowship together, to worship together, because this is all worship when we come and raise up our Lord Jesus Christ. Say a little bit about that, about how important it is to be in these small groups and what comes out of that.
Well, obviously, the fellowship there and getting to know, for me, for instance, other brothers in Christ that I learn more about, especially when you have a small group leader that can peel back the veneer and become transparent. And it's not, you know, I'm super Christian teaching you. No, I'm just humble Joe. Let me share some truths out of my life this week and how the Word of God has impacted me as I'm being transparent with you about how I interact with my wife or my children or my boss or my employees or whatever that is. And you get in a group like that and guys sit around, they hear that and they take that to heart, and it's something you can take out and live out the rest of the week, you know, because we like for them to do Bible study during that time, but really honestly here, folks are getting three in-depth expositional messages Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. So the small group hour doesn't have to be just another preaching time.
Right.
That's the time to bond the class together. That's the kind of time to share those prayer requests and those prayer needs. And you laugh together, you cry together, you bond together as a group of guys or a group of ladies. And to me, out of that comes growth. You know, we're encouraging accountability groups, and you come out of there with an accountability partner that you can meet with and memorize and meditate on scripture with, or share about your quiet times, or maybe make some evangelistic visits together, or whatever that is. But to me, that strengthening that takes place in that small group, then you multiply that all across the small groups of this church, then it becomes one large small group. You know,
right.
I tell people all the time, they say, you know, why don't you come visit our church? Oh, that church, that's too big for me. And
yeah.
I said, you know, on the outside, you see this building, but once you get inside, it's just like a little country church. I mean, you get in a small group with 10 or 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk to people in our congregation now who had that phobia, so to speak, to begin with, who've been here for years, and they say, yeah, this is just a small little place to me now.
Right.
Know, because I know people, you know, and people know me, and we've grown together in the Lord.
Yeah, and two, we also see in the book of Acts in chapter 2, and of course this was the early believers, this is a different time of the church, but still it says they devoted themselves, this is the believers now, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Wow, they prayed together, they fellowshiped together, they broke bread with one another.
Also, it says house to house.
And they house
that
to
was,
house.
That was their small group. So
exactly.
You know, they came to Solomon's Portico as a large group for
sure.
The preaching times.
Yep.
And then they went house to house, you know, for those small groups.
Yeah, so it's very important for listeners to be able to be involved in the local body of Christ, the local church.
It's the only thing.
Is the only thing. There's such a misconception about the local church. People think, well, I can worship at home. No, you can't, because God has ordained the local church as a means of fellowshipping with other believers. You look at the New Testament, and you've got Paul's epistles to where? To the Ephesian church, to the Galatian churches, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Thessalonica, to the church at Corinth. You know, we just can keep going on and on. These are local body churches that God had ordained and set up, and it's very important for believers to be in a congregation of other believers so that these things can take place. They can devote themselves to what the apostles taught, which were taught by Christ, fellowshipping together with one another, breaking bread with one another, and praying together.
We don't hear our pastor say all the time, you know, there's lots of things in this world you can give your life to. But why not give your life to the one thing that's the jewel of God's eye, the apple of his eye, and that's the local church.
The bride of Christ.
I mean, Christ came and died for the church.
Yeah.
He gave himself for the church. He loved the church.
The church.
I mean, on and on you go. It's that's what it's all about. It's
yeah.
And once you fall in love with the local church,
right.
Then the outflowing ministry from that is just, it goes on and on.
And when you see the dynamic that Grace Life Church of the Shoals has with that, it's absolutely amazing. And to experience this conference, and it's not just like it's an emotional experience. The Lord is here. It's worship. It's teaching. It's prayer. It's a family reunion every year when we come back. But it's absolutely wonderful. We're so thankful for Grace Life Church of the Shoals. We're thankful for Anchored in Truth and the missions that they do with supporting missionaries all around the world and church planting. They do a wonderful job with fulfilling the Great Commission with doing that. We are so thankful for Grace Life Church, for Anchored in Truth, and for your work, Brother Tim.
Well, you know, with Anchored in Truth, you know, some people could look at that and say, well, it's just the teaching ministry of Jeff Noblet. Well, if that's all it was, that would be a wonderful thing.
Right.
You know? And that is a large portion of what it is, but that's not all that it is.
Oh, yes.
The mission side of that has so exploded in the last several years that, I mean, we couldn't even have predicted the things that we have encountered and just testimony after testimony of people like Timoteo and Allie and Barry and on we could go of how people, all of a sudden now we're partnering with individuals and churches like yours that we never dreamed of, that God has just brought our way when we just simply said, we want to be be Bible-centered, Christ-centered, glory of God focused. We want to be all that that can be, the Word says we should be. And then God has just birthed that out of that. You know, some people might say, oh, did you sit back in, you know, in a smoke-filled executive room and come up with some scheme or plan? Absolutely not. No. I mean, we got with the Word and said, what do we need to be as a local church? And as we've tried to live out those things, God has brought these opportunities to us. You know, we could never have scripted this.
And it's all these people that it's all these people out there, like we were, this little place, this little church, group of people in Lake City, saying we want truth. We want the truth. And we hear, you know, we find, you know, we hear about this, and we come and we, there it is. It's like, there it is. So it's a wonderful thing. Brother Tim, we thank you for being with us. We thank you for the work that you do. We thank you for Anchored in Truth, for you and Brother Jeff, and for allowing us to air, his stuff, which is the Lord's stuff. He's expositioning the preaching of the Word, and that's what it's for. We thank you so much for that. Thank you for joining us today.
You have been listening to Word for America. If you would like to contact Dr. Mark and Dr. Luke, you can send them a message at wordforamerica@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to Word for America on Grace Life Radio 90.1 WPGT.